Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I know that you are here to listen to the best humans on the planet to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. Let's do this. We have a really, really amazing guest for you today. And her name is Dawn Katie, and she is a success guide, intuitive, a certified holistic therapist. She's the owner and founder of Alleviate Pain. Now, here's the cool and amazing thing, which I can't wait to get into. Dawn has suffered for 31 years with an opioid addiction, learning how to walk again, despite what doctors insisted that she couldn't do, or that she would be disabled for the rest of her life. And that, as you know, guys, we are always on here challenging the way we think and really inspiring one another so that we can move this world further and further along. So Dawn, thank you so much for being here. How are you today?
I'm good, my love. Thank you for having me.
I love your accent. Where are you right now?
So I live in Australia, but I'm actually from the north of England. So I've got a very different accent.
Okay, awesome. Australia's beautiful. What time is it for you?
So it's now 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, in the morning. Okay. Because it's 7:30 p.m. over here. Okay. Wow. 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 That's awesome. So Dawn, the way I like to do this is I have an amazing audience. They're always like really involved with what, you know, what's on the show and the people, and I want them to know who you are. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are, Dawn? Because your story is quite compelling. So we're going to get to that. But who are you, Dawn?
A little bit about who I am. So I'm an English woman that arrived in Australia 16 years ago, and I'd been one of those sickly kids who just always got sick all of the time. And I moved to Australia with my ex-partner, an Englishman, and then married an Australian. So in a nutshell, I came with an Englishman and married an Australian. End of interview. So basically, I came here. I was always one of those people that just went with the flow of life. Mm. I just trusted that everything would work out. So I moved to Australia because my ex-partner was a professional rugby league player in England and became injured. And so he lost his profession and he wanted to start a new life in a new country. So we moved here because of what he wanted. I didn't know what I wanted, so I just went with the flow.
Right.
And then I would have a journey which I'd become disabled. And pretty much then I'd have a procedure, which would then put me back into the worst state I've ever been in my life. And then just this complete journey of PTSD, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, wow, wanting to end my life, opioid addiction. Just this journey of coming to Australia was just something beyond words. But like I said before, Nina, I had been one of those sickly children, mm-hmm, but it just compounding and compounding, and unfortunately never got picked up by the medical community, that it was just compounding from age one up until age 37. I ended up with three autoimmune diseases, being disabled three times, like so many things.
Wow.
So that's just a snapshot.
yeah I mean, and that's a lot, right? Because you know, it's something to go through, especially if you're ill all the time and there's nobody like helping you through that, right? Yeah. You know, you talked about the opioid addiction, which is a real problem and a real thing. You know, I had a brother, I say had, because he got into a terrible car accident, crushed both of his legs, got addicted to opioids as well, but he did take his life, right? So it's like this. Yeah. It's a real problem, right? So was the opioid, did that come in because you needed relief? Was it something that you were like, I'm in pain and I need this? Or, you know, how did that come into your life?
I'm glad that you asked that question because it's really important, especially in the States. It's just horrendous. Mm-hmm. And I've watched many documentaries on it, on how bad it actually is in the States. It's not so bad in Australia, but it's still pretty bad here as well. So what happened is I slipped when I was 5.5 months pregnant and ended up being left disabled from the slip. Didn't actually hit the floor. I turned and caught the kitchen sink. But in that movement, I damaged so many parts of my body. But it went undiagnosed because I was pregnant. They couldn't do any scans. So pretty much I was on sticks for the remainder of my pregnancy and I had my little boy. But what happened was, rather than me improving, because when you're pregnant, you become quite flexible, lax is what they say, the muscles become so relaxed. Mm-hmm. They just are hypersensitive and hypermobile. And pretty much they said, as soon as you've had your son, the hormones will shift and change and you will heal. I got worse and worse and worse. To the point that the doctors didn't know what to do with me. So they were just giving me more meds, more meds, more meds, more meds. And it got to the point that I was on some strong painkillers. I was on, I don't know what they call them in the States, but I was on opioids. I was on Targin, Lyrica, Endone, Tramadol, Norgesic. Like I was on some hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
And the thing that had me realize that I was addicted was one day I had this acute awareness of, hang on a minute, are these actually working? Are these painkillers actually working? I asked that question and it just took me on this journey of actually, you know what? The reason why I'm taking the painkillers is not for the pain. I'm taking it because I hate who I've become. I hate my life and I don't want to be here. So if I take these painkillers, I escape this horrendous life that I'm living.
Right. Wow, that's deep.
Yeah, and I realized at that point it was actually a coping mechanism. Now, I'd not studied anything prior to this point, but I just had this acute awareness that I was like, right, okay, this is really deep. I can make two decisions here. I can check out and kill myself. And trust me, I went down that path multiple times. Or the other is I can now choose and decide who's more powerful, the painkillers or me. And that's the crossroad. And trust me, it wasn't, I made the decision and I stayed on that. I was pulled in and out into And it was this constant, like, I have to catch myself. I have to catch myself because this is an indoctrinated pattern now. I have wired my brain that those painkillers are helping and they're not. And I'm acutely aware now I have 52 side effects from all of these drugs.
Wow.
And I started looking into that and going, what is real? What is actually my body giving me pain and what is the painkillers? Wow. And I had to start separating the two. And going on that journey and separating the two, I started to stack evidence that I was more powerful than the drugs.
That's amazing. And difficult, Dawn, right? And difficult, like, you know, I know, you know, women in my lifetime that have been addicted to opioids, right? And it is literally like that. It sneaks up on you. You don't even realize it. You are literally at first taking it because it is true that it does help you with that pain. For once you feel that relief, you're like, oh, phew, you know, I can sleep tonight. And then you realize, oh, wait a minute, I can't even sleep without it now, you know? Yeah. But it's not overnight. It's sometimes years before you recognize. Did it take you a while, like it take you years to recognize, or did that clarity come?
18 months.
Wow, it's long enough.
It's long enough. Yeah. It was 18 months and it was, and I feel that this is really important to share this, Nina, so I'm just going to share it. Yeah. Please know that I implicitly trusted my doctor as well. Yeah. Okay. And that it was for the right thing. So I had ignorance. And unfortunately, this is harsh. We can't be ignorant when it comes to this kind of stuff. You have to do your own research.
Right.
And I was just completely ignorant. I mean, the same doctor had put me on medication. And this is no disrespect to doctors, but this is, they are human. They make mistakes. She put me on medication that has caused long-term injury to my son. She put me on painkillers whilst I was pregnant, which have had long-term damage with my son's intellectual abilities. And it said on the packet, Nina, when I read in retrospect, reading through all the medications, it said, do not give to pregnant women in their third trimester. And I was on it my entire third trimester.
Wow. That's
Paladin fought. Nothing serious. You wouldn't think anything of it, but it's plain as day says, do not give to women in their third trimester of pregnancy.
Wow.
And this is no right, wrong, good or bad. They are human. They don't know every single side effect. They don't know everything. You have to do your own research. You cannot give your power away to people.
Right.
And that's what the lesson was. What I learned was I blindly trusted another human being with my life because the imagination is the doctor knows more than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. We've all fallen victim to it. We all do it.
Everyone. Yeah.
Everyone. Not the doctor's fault. It's not my fault. But you know what? It is my responsibility.
Right, right. No, and that's deep. That's deep, Dawn, because, you know, I used to be in medical, right? So I was a medical assistant for 15 years. I used to do ultrasounds, all that stuff. And I remember that. Like, I remember pushing back on the doctor and going, why are we giving this woman, you know, these Percocets or whatever we're giving her? She can barely speak a sentence on the phone. She's obviously addicted. What are we doing? You know? And he's like, yeah, but, you know, she needs it. But I said, does she, though? Does she? You know, and so I would always get in trouble because I'm always pushing back. But the truth is that taught me a lot. That really did. It taught me. And so now when a doctor says, you have this, I'm like, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. So can you show me why and how and who and when? But not everyone does that, Dawn. And if I wasn't in medical, I wouldn't either, to be honest with you. You know,
it's not easy.
You just trust them. I mean, they're doctors and you're not, right? And so they have all this jargon and this language that they speak. And so therefore you kind of like fall for that, right? It's the same way if you're going to a therapist and the therapist diagnoses you with something. And instead of you questioning the diagnosis, you might say, oh, I am bipolar. Here, give me, you know, but are you bipolar? Or are you just really going through something right now? Yeah. So, you know what I mean? So I totally understand that, Dawn. That's super deep, right? And something that is really hard to get through. I can imagine how much you've suffered through that because, like you said, it pulled me back in and out. It pulled me in and out. So talk to me about those moments, right? Like when you got the clarity and you talked to yourself and said, am I more powerful or is the drugs more powerful? I know that even though you thought you were more powerful, that wasn't an easy decision because now your body and your mind are craving something you're trying to fight.
That's right.
So how was that journey for you? Like, how did you start that off and what happened when you did fall back? How did you get back on that, you know, on your journey? Tell me a little bit about that.
I mastered my mind.
Awesome. Wow.
That simple. I mastered my mind and realized that I'd become the slave to my mind and I was just following blindly. And I understood, I slowed it down enough to start observing and watching myself. And I was watching the addict going into the draw and wanting the fix. I was watching the addict and observed and pulled myself and went, isn't that interesting? And it's what I teach people. I'm like, you observe yourself in these different aspects of who you are. There's no right, wrong, good or bad. There's a part of all of us that has an addict. There's a part of all of us that is addicted to something.
100%.
And you've just got to observe the addict and not go, oh my God, I'm an addict. Because it's an aspect of you that's an addict. There is a whole different aspect of you that is not an addict. And when you observe that and pull yourself out of that and go, the addict of me doesn't believe that I'm strong enough and powerful enough. And you know what? It's okay right now to feel like that. Mm-hmm. And when I made it okay to feel like that, I dropped the painkillers.
Wow.
Because in that moment, I made a decision that I was more powerful than my situation. Mm-hmm. I wasn't an addict. There was an aspect of me that was an addict. Mm-hmm. There was an aspect of me that was deeply addicted. And when I didn't make her right, wrong, good or bad, and just went, you know what? You've been through shit. I can see why you want to check out. Mm-hmm. I can see why you don't want to be here. And when I had those conversations with that part of me, it just stopped.
Wow, that's
it
deep.
It just stopped like that. And trust me, it wasn't just one conversation.
Right.
It was me having to hold space for when that's coming again. And sometimes catching it afterwards, after I'd taken the painkillers, because that addict had come in and was stronger than me in that moment because it needed to feel that it could escape.
And the
more that I restricted it, then the more I'd become addicted to. If I just went with the flow and trusted that I would catch myself when I was ready to catch myself, it just became easier and easier and easier. And then eventually it was just like the neural connections and pathways have been wired to, I make the decision, the addict is no longer in control.
Right.
Dropped.
Right. Wow, that's so deep. And so when you were going through that process and you're looking at, you know, the addict popping up, I call it the gremlin, right? So the gremlin, that addict popping up and like luring you in as it does, right? Did you realize as you started to shift your brain and shift your mindset, because I love like NLP stuff, right? So, you know, thinking about how you shift your brain and everything else. So when you were in that process, did you feel like the depression and the anxiety started to dwindle off as well? Like, did you think the addiction and all of that kind of like played hand in hand with each other?
It was almost like they played hand in hand, and once one had dissolved, another one had rise. So it was almost like this.
Oh, wow.
So when each one dissolved to a certain point, then that would go, and then another one would come up. And that is, it was almost like this pattern. So it just go around in circles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was like a spiral. It'd go into a spiral. I get to a certain point with the addiction, and then the depression would come in. I get to a certain point with the depression, then the anxiety. And it was like a healing all three at the same time.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Like a spiral. But yeah, they're definitely related, because depression is looking to the past. Oh my God, I was this, I was that, I had this, I had that, and now I'm fucking this.
Right, depression. Right.
And then there's the anxiety of, what if I'm like this for the rest of my life? What if I'm addicted? What if I experience this? What if I'm a shit mom? What if I'm this? And then I'm looking at my now and going, well, makes sense I'm going to be like that, because look at my now.
Wow.
And that's what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the addict would then go to one side, and then I'd be tossed back between these two, and then it'd go back to the addict. And it was just.
Right.
Trusting. It was just trusting the fact that, you know what? I'm not the depression. I'm not the addict. And I'm not the anxiety. I'm who I am right now. And who I am right now is the one that's going to change the future. I can't go into the future and change it. But in this present moment, I can hold that I am more powerful than the addiction today. I can hold that I'm more powerful than the depression today. And just kept choosing that and choosing it until it just became my reality that I was the master of my mind. I was the master of this situation. But it was a journey. It didn't happen all
the time. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
How long ago was that moment, you think? I mean, I know there were a lot of moments, but how long ago was that? Was that moment when you said, okay, this has to change?
The moment was when I had three specialists in their field turn around to me and say, this is your life. It's not going to change. And I spiraled. For about 2 weeks, and then I was in the fetal position in bed, and I was like, right, I'm done.
Right.
I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I can't live like this. This is not my life. This is not what I signed up to be. I am not this person. I don't know who this is, and who I am is not here anymore. I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I decided.
Yeah.
And what happened was I just surrendered to it. I completely just went, okay, I'm done. And I went into, and I call it the pit of despair, the cesspool. And I just went into it and became completely consumed by it. And I don't know how long I was consumed by it. I have no idea, hours, no idea. But it, at the end of that, during that, there was, how am I going to do this? How am I going to end my life without my son finding me? Because my son was 16 months at the time. How do I do this? So it was always plotting whilst this was happening. And whilst I just surrendered and I was okay with me ending my life, I was okay with the plan. Then suddenly what happened is, as I got to the end, and I'd faced my fear.
Wow.
And I'd faced the fear of killing myself, that I no longer needed to do it. And this voice just came and went, none of that's true. And I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to hold on to that now. And I just went with that, and that brought me up. So I'd gone down the spiral, and then I just went, there's nothing left. I faced fear. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to end my life. I faced it. I'm not afraid of it. I'm going to do it. And then suddenly this other, like, conversation was happening of, none of that was true. You decide whether it's true. Do you believe that you're the worst person on the face of the earth? Do you think you're the worst person?
Right.
Do you think that you're the worst mom on earth? Do you really seriously believe that you're the worst mom on earth?
Right.
And then all these questions came through and I just kept holding on to them. And they pulled me out and I walked out of the bedroom. And I'd crawled into the bedroom at that point, crippled in pain, not able to walk properly. And I walked out of the bedroom and I didn't feel anything. And I looked my husband in the eye and I stared at him and I said, I'm back. And he just looked at me and said, I knew you'd come back.
Wow.
And
wow.
And that's what happened. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't like this miraculous thing that I'm learning how to walk again. It was just kind of like in that moment, there was nothing else more important than me going out and looking in my husband's eyes and him seeing that he's back.
Right. And you know what, Dawn? First of all, that was so powerful. That really touched me. And I realized that even when I wanted to commit suicide, I remember being younger, wanted to commit suicide. I also did that, like went to the end of myself, like to the end of yourself. And yeah. I think, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I'm not an expert in this, but I think that's what pulls you out. I think people who have committed suicide, and I've had friends, like I said, my brother and stuff. And I know that it's because we don't want to go there. You don't want to get to the end of yourself because it feels awful to get to the end of yourself. But it is the most empowering and enriching thing you will ever do. Mm-hmm. But and just keep in mind that you will get through it. Tomorrow will come.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, and I know, Dawn, that this is not a journey where you just get up and now everything is fine every day. I know you still have to make sure you hold yourself accountable. Make sure you're pulling yourself up. And when that little voice starts coming in, you're like, ah, I don't think so. Not today. Right? Because I'm sure that there's struggles still today where you have to pull yourself and know that you're not going there. Right? Now, I bet you're more intentional now than ever.
The amount of times I've had to go into that, the first time was the worst because it's like, I don't know where this is taking me. In fact, you know what? It had to get to that point where I was just like, you know what? There's nothing else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had to get to that point the first time. You don't have to get there. Mm-hmm. I had to get to that point. In order for me to visit that, I had to get to that point. Now, recently, I had to get to the point of insane and accepting that I am insane. And there's an aspect of me that is insane and there's an aspect of all of us that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go through that insanity because my mom actually went insane and was sectioned.
Mm. Mm. Wow.
She had mental health issues my entire life.
Right.
And I had a fear of going insane. I had to meet it. I had to go insane. And I had to sit with and watch myself go insane.
Mm.
And this is the thing. You can go to therapy and you can talk it out to death. But until you walk down that path, and you can walk it alone or you can walk it with somebody, and this is what I do with people. I walk with them down this journey and hold the space for them so that I can say, I'm here. You've got this. You can do this.
Right. Wow.
And people go down this. So you might spend a decade in therapy. You might have one session with someone like me, and it's like a decade of therapy because it's taking you down where you don't want to go.
You don't want to go.
It's
right.
Fast and it's rapid, and you come out the other side, and you're like, wow, I am powerful beyond measure and I had no idea. And don't get me wrong, it comes in waves and then something else will come up.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is you've got to imagine that you're in a tsunami and you're just stood there and you're allowing the tsunami to go on and you're not even in it. You're not involved. It's just washing over you. And you're just standing powerful and strong. And whenever you get washed up in the tsunami, you go, right, I'm afraid because I've given all my power away to the external world of what's happening. The external energies are overtaking me right now. This situation, this circumstance, this person, I am giving all my power away to them. I need to pull myself back in and go, why did I give my power away to that person? Why did I give it away to that situation? Mm-hmm. I gave it away to chronic pain. I gave it away to anxiety. I gave it away to PTSD. I gave it away to addiction. I gave it away to insanity. There's so many ways that we give our power away. And the only way to get it back is to go down the gauntlet and get the goddamn energy back and bring it back and go, I did it.
Right.
Nothing and that's not easy. Has power over me. Nothing and no one has power over me. That is what we're here to do. And we have to just keep going through the drills and believing that. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that could be ending sugar addiction.
Right.
For some people, that could be owning to the fact that you don't want to work in the job that you're working and you actually want to be a baker or you want to do a cook or something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be what I've gone through. That's my journey. That's my story. Not everybody's has to be like that.
Right.
For some reason, I wanted it to be that way. I'm just saying there must be a part of me that had only learned through immense suffering. Perhaps that's my story. Perhaps that's my journey. It's not everybody's.
Right. So let's touch on that. I want to know. Well, first off, I wanted to ask you, how is your son?
He's great. I homeschool him. He's homeschooled. Yeah.
Okay. And how old is he now?
He's 8. He'll be 9 soon.
Oh, amazing. I'm so glad you stuck around, Dawn. I'm so glad. So tell me about your journey with your client. I do want to know a little bit about that. So tell me about what, you know, like, okay, so somebody calls you up right now. They want to work with you. What does that entail? What's that journey?
So that journey is about me. I can feel people's pain. So pretty much what happens is when I work with somebody, we know that we're meant to work together.
Like an empath.
It's a non-negotiable. There's no selling or anything like that. It's like, you know what? I know that I've been sent to you for this reason. Mm. I have to visit this. People, it's almost like a cold to come and see someone like me. So they, what happens is I feel into their body because most people who come and see me are disembodied. They can't feel their body anymore. They're so disconnected that they don't understand why they're in pain. They don't understand why they've got anxiety. They don't understand why they have depression. So it's almost like I feel everything on their behalf and teach them how to feel for themselves. Okay.
Wow.
The world that we are in right now, we have to feel everything. You've got to feel a situation or a circumstance. Do ask this person and feel. It's not about rationalizing and going, oh, well, they said this and they did that. Feel their words. Does it feel truthful? If you don't learn how to navigate through this world through feeling, you'll go insane looking at the outside world.
You're speaking a lot. You're saying a lot, Dawn, because when you think about what everything you're saying, I mean, I think about this all the time, especially with social media. Nobody has feelings anymore. You see something tragic and you're already scrolling to the next story and to the next story. Oh, a homeless person scrolling to the next story. There is no attachment to feelings, Dawn. That's really deep, right? So you're taking them back to their humanity. You're taking them back to, you know, their empathy and their sympathy, all of that. That's powerful. And not many people are even doing that.
No.
So that's pretty freaking powerful. Wow. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Please. How do you keep yourself sane? Right? Like keeping these, like trying to get these people to get through their stuff. You have to work. I'm sure you have to work on you. Like, yeah. Right.
I spend 2 hours a day. So when people say to me, oh, you only see 6 clients a week. I work 2 hours a day on myself.
Right. That's a lot of clients a week, let me tell you.
To hold the space for them to go insane, for them to actually want to end their life. I have to hold the space knowing that it'll never happen and they can get through this. You have to have no triggers at all inside of you to be able to do that.
Right.
You have to be exceptionally powerful, which means that you have to have gone through what they have gone through on some level. Right. Or you can't hold the space.
Right.
And this is the thing that I want people to understand is we go and see professionals who've read our books, but if they've not got a lived experience of it, they cannot ever understand or hear you to the level and capacity that you might need.
Right. And so tell me, how long is that journey with you and your client? Like, is this something that you do it in small increments? Is this something that happens in months? So like how long do you have a program? Like, how does that all work?
It's really interesting how I work and marketing people and my my coach of self is like, you've got to change your model. I went, listen, the body tells me, okay? The body is the one that has to process the emotions. The body is the one that has to let them go. The body is the one that stores all of the stories, all of the pain, all of the hurt.
Right.
You cannot do what we have done for centuries, which is the mind is in control and the body is a slave. We've got to switch that paradigm. The body is highly intelligent. You've got to respect it. You've got to learn it. You've got to understand it.
Absolutely.
The body tells me how long between each sessions before it'll let me back in the space of the body. It'll go, you know what? After this, I need 12 days of recovery.
Yeah.
I need 12 days to clean up all of this, because just because psychologically, emotionally, you've dealt with it, your body's still got to clean up the mess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So for example, for people, this is coming through, I feel like this is really important. For those of you that are struggling with neck pain, it's not just neck pain, it's your rigid way of seeing the world. You can't move. This is a neck represents your ability to see things from different perspectives, to look to the future, to look to the left, to look to the right, to look behind you and have no resistance. Your neck symbolizes your fact of how you see and perceive the world. Mm-hmm. You have neck pain, and neck pain comes through, it means that you have a rigid point of view and perspective. So you have to let go, and your body, so you go, okay, I release and let go. I'm not rigid. I see things for what they are. I'm open to different ways of seeing. I'm teachable. I'm coachable. I'm open to seeing the world a different way. Yes, you have understood that. But you have neural connections and pathways that have believed the complete opposite to that. So you have now said to your brain, I need you to go out and stack evidence that my new way of thinking and feeling and experiencing the world is true.
Therefore,
I don't go insane and start collapsing neural connections and pathways that I've been living on and coping mechanisms.
Right.
My brain is so intelligent.
So good. Yeah. Yeah.
When we say to it, I want this, it has to go out and collect the evidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before it'll change. And then what happens is it then goes to the body and reports back. It's safe for us to let this go. It's true.
Mm-hmm,
we can change this. The new neural connections and pathways are alive now. You will now start creating new hormones, new chemicals. And this is what we see. This is our reality. Then the body can release and let go. So if I come in too early and this is all going on and I'm coming in and going, and I'm going to shake you again and we're going to release and let go, the body he'll go, hang on a minute, this is too much. I've still right. not finished this.
Right.
Can we go back and hold the space? And this is the thing. So some people may go see a coach for 2 or 3 years to get a result. People ask me and say, how long does it take? It's how quick are you willing to release and let go?
Yeah.
How much are you willing to trust the process and yourself?
Right.
I can't answer those questions. Some people come and see me and it's 3 sessions.
Right.
From severe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From severe anxiety, PTSD, depression, 3 sessions, got absolutely fine. You're an individual. You've had your own journey. You've had your own process. You right. are your own person. You get to decide how long it takes.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And especially the fear part of it, right? So if you're afraid and you don't want to let go and you're super fearful, like of judgment or somebody thinking like, you know, Dawn is going to think you're weird or it's going to take you so much longer, guys, so much longer. So let me ask you this, Dawn. Is this something that you do now, being that you're in Australia? Are you doing this in person? Are you doing this virtually? How are you doing your clients?
I do everything online.
Okay, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
I do everything. I've got clients all over the world and I do everything online because of the fact is when you are in your own home, you've got this level of safety.
Yeah, comfort. Yeah.
And when you are with someone, you can almost not have to look at them. But when you are on Zoom or when you are doing face-to-face on a computer, you right. can't look in it. There's no escaping it.
Right,
It intensifies the process. I've found that when someone used to come into, I used to have pain clinics and practices and I'd close them all down because I experimented and I found that when people were face to face, they'd look away, there'd be a lot of silence, there'd be distraction. They'd be like, oh, can I have a cup of tea? Oh, I need the bathroom.
Yeah.
But when someone is on the computer with you, it's almost like you can call them out easier.
Yeah.
You can say, you know what? Are you sure that you need the toilet or is this your way? And they'd be like, you know what? No, I need the toilet. Great. Because we distract ourselves.
Yeah, 100%. It's uncomfortable. Right.
excuse societies, and we make excuses after excuses after excuses. And when someone holds a space for you for making excuses, you'll be with them for years. But if someone is not going to allow you to make excuses and just say, do you think that you're not going, you're making an excuse right now, you don't right. need the toilet. You just say, do you need the toilet? I need right. for you to know. I don't need to know. Right. If you're making excuses, that's fine. Right. If you want a rapid transformation and you want to get through whatever you're going through, ask yourself a question. Do I need the toilet or am I making an excuse?
Right.
And it's okay if I'm making an excuse.
Right.
You're right, wrong, good or bad. Right. If you're making it, that's fine. Right.
You're giving them permission to be truthful to themselves.
Yeah, it's okay. Right. If you're making right. if you need to get out of my energy, if you need to go for a walk, that's fine.
Right.
If your body actually does need the toilet, if you're nervous, that's fine. But you need to see the truth of everything, why you're doing what right. you're doing. Because right. if you're not, you're flying blind in this world.
Right.
You don't know the motivations behind what you're doing. If you don't know it's on the, and I, this is coming through that I need to share this. There's two paths in this world. And there's two choices in this world. There's the path of destruction and the path of freedom. You have to know where you're heading. And if you don't know which path you're heading down, the chances are you're down the path of destruction.
Yeah, for sure.
If you don't know where you are, you're here. And if you're here, you're going to create more and more and more and more of this because you're wiring your brain to live in this place.
Right.
But if you pull yourself out and you come back to the fork in the road and go, right, okay, I was down there. Now I'm here. Where do I want to go? Well, I don't want to be in pain. I don't want to have disease. I don't want to have suffering. Okay. Well, if I don't want it, it means that there's something here that has power over me. Because if you don't want something, it means that you're scared of it. If
right.
you're scared, you've got to go back here and face the fear of it. If you don't face the fear of it, you will just keep going down and down and down. And what's the sign of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again.
Right, right.
So you
right.
pull yourself back in and you go, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to be in pain. It's uncomfortable, but it is what it is. It's my life right now. I'm in pain.
Right.
You just right. got to accept it. It's my responsibility to change it. No one else is going to fix me or heal me. And that's a massive thing here. No one is going to fix me or heal me. It's going to be
right.
me.
It's going to be you. I'm right. I mean, you had to go through that journey
yeah.
for such a time as this, right?
Yes.
If you didn't go through that journey, you wouldn't be able to do what you do now. And nobody's saying that the journey was amazing and fun, but it was definitely necessary. I always say that, you know, the tragedies we go through, the messes that we go through, that becomes your message. That becomes your power. That becomes what you can now use to pull someone else up. And so I'm really glad you're doing that, Dawn. I'm not glad you had to go through so much hurt and pain, but I am and I'm not, right? It's like this weird thing. But I really love the work that you're doing, Dawn. And so, you know, I know that my audience is probably like, oh my God, what is she saying? But I want you to let my audience know how they can find you. Like how they can, I love that you're doing everything online. So this makes it easier. So let me know, you know, all of your socials or the way you like to be contacted.
So what I like people to do is I like people to understand what I'm about, the teachings. So the first thing that I would suggest is if you're going to healyourself.dc, that's a Facebook group.
Okay.
I give lots of wisdom and teachings because the thing is, if you don't have your compass right, if you don't know where you're heading, you're just going to be listening to other people.
Yeah.
You need to understand and trust yourself and become sovereign. And what sovereign means is you need to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have your own way of seeing the world. And start to feel, is this true to me? Is what my doctor saying the best thing for me or not?
Mm-hmm.
Not right, wrong, good or bad, or they're not trying to help you. They are. They're trying to help you. But you have to discern, is it right for me?
Right.
And my teachings help you become more powerful and standing your powerfulness of who you are and understand and accept that everything is working for you. Okay. So my job here on earth, and this might be a bit out there for people, is I'm here to help people not be victims of a situation and circumstance
awesome.
Because you'll just perpetuate it.
Yeah.
So I'm here to help you see the truth of who you are. So you go into my Facebook community, you'll get teachings there. I am a very spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what I mean by spiritual person is I know that we're all here for a bigger reason. We're just like bees. Bees have no idea why they're here.
But without them, we would die. Without them, we would die.
Without them, we would die, and they have no idea, and we are no different.
Right.
We are here to experience life and be who we authentically are. And through that, we have massive changes and ramifications throughout the world and people. We touch their lives. It's a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. If you are good in the world and you show up and you're authentic and you don't hide from the darkness, because we all have the darkness inside.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And you don't hide from it and you don't make it wrong, you start to heal. And when you heal, you start to heal your family. You start to heal those around you, because they start to see you as, wow, you're a beacon of light. You're the one that has me feel safe. And when they feel safe, they start to feel safe inside themselves. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm here to do, to help humanity remember that we are incredible.
That's awesome. It's a little job. It's a little job, Dawn.
It's just a wee job.
Tiny job. It's all good.
It took me a while to warn it. Let me tell you, I have been hiding from it. I went down the medical route and became a psychotherapist and went down that path and thought, I'm just me, little old me, what's all this about? I went through all of that BS that we tell ourselves.
Right.
We're incredible.
Yeah.
We are all incredible. And you know what? Do I fully own it? No. I'm sitting here going, oh my God, I'm sat here going, I'm incredible as well. Fuck, I've got to own that right now. There's a part of me that's real.
Yeah.
I've got my shit together in every area of my life. If I had, I'd be gone. I've done my job. This is a university. We are constantly learning. I don't have everything together. I'm not sitting here and saying, oh, I'm amazing, I'm incredible, and I'm embodying it. Right. Sometimes I'm like, everybody else is incredible, I'm not. And listen to the insanity of that.
Right.
That's insane. That is insane. How is everybody else on planet Earth incredible, but I'm not incredible? That's insane.
Right.
Isn't it really?
Right. And this is what we do though, right? We constantly do this to ourselves. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But I'm really glad that you took the time all the way from Australia. I've never been there, but I've been wanting to go. But thank you so much for doing this and spending time with us and really just dropping as much. I mean, these are just amazing gems of wisdom that you dropped for everyone. I want people to understand that when they get to the end of themselves, that's when you get to the beginning of yourself. It's just a beautiful thing. So just get through it. And so call Dawn, guys. Call Dawn and just make sure that she helps you through this journey, because you can be helped through this journey. You don't have to do it alone, but you do have to do it. You do have to do it. Dawn, thank you so much for being here with us. I really am grateful. Really.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. You are the best. Okay. I have the best podcasting community ever. I really do. And I appreciate you guys being on here. Make sure you go on to winject.com/register, winject.com/register, and register for my free community, because I want to be really connected with you, and I want us to brainstorm and be with each other and connect in a deeper way. If you are looking for coaching, please make sure that you also email me at hello@straighttalknosugaredit.com. I work with women and I help them develop that business that they are envisioning in their hearts so that they can win. Thank you guys so much for being here. Love you, love you, love you. This is Dina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.